This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Hi, welcome to another episode of Trick Talks. My name is Barbara Lally, and today I'm going to read to you from my book, The Trickster Diaries. You can get The Trickster Diaries on Amazon or a signed copy directly from me at barbaralally.com/shop. My brother shaved my eyebrows off. My younger brother Evan and I are 3 years apart. When I developed trichotillomania, he was 7 years old. Even as a young child, he was very supportive of my trichotillomania. He never once made me feel different for missing hair and pointed it out only once. Something he remembers, but I don't. My brother was so supportive that he would lie for me. We went to the same school and summer camps growing up, which meant he was aware of the heckling I would receive from other kids. One day at summer camp, a few kids were hanging around and a particularly rude and loudmouthed boy, that was not just my opinion, it was a known fact, decided to yell, "What happened to your eyebrows?" As many times as I have heard that question, it never got easier. I froze. My brother, being the protective person he is, instantly said, "I shaved them off as a prank. Is that okay with you?" I could not believe it. His response completely took the pressure off of me. Everyone's eyes left my eyebrowless face and looked right at my brother. The loudmouth boy laughed and said, "That's funny. What a messed up prank. He really got you good." Then the conversation changed topics. I could breathe again. Having a sibling with trick. This passage is a typed version of an actual conversation I had with my brother Evan. A lot of these questions are general and memory-based. I did not want to ask any leading questions that could impact his memory. What is your earliest memory of my trichotillomania?
My earliest memory was when we were playing basketball in our backyard on Hayworth Street. I missed a shot that hit the edge of the rim, and the ball ended up hitting you right in the face. I believe you ended up putting on some makeup and trying not to bring attention to your face because you knew you had been pulling your eyelashes, and it made it look even more obvious once you had this black eye. It looked really noticeable and scary for Mom because she saw the black eye and no eyelashes. So she really yelled at me, thinking that I had purposely hit you with the ball. And I think that's when people first noticed.
What do you remember?
I remember that Mom was one that kind of brought it to everyone's attention. She was really hypersensitive around what you were doing, like if you were playing with your hair in the car or picking at your lashes. We spent a lot of time in the car going to many different places, school and to sports. When we were captive in the same place, it was easier to watch what you were doing. And Mom would make a point to definitely say, "Stop playing with your hair." And whenever you would get out of the car, she would turn to me and she would say, "Stop annoying your sister. She's missing her eyelashes again," or something like that. That would bring it to my attention. I remember we would always fight over who would get the front seat, but in the mornings, you would always get the front seat. We would try to rush you out of the house. It was easier for me in the morning. I just had to put clothes on because I showered at night, but you would take a much longer time. I now realize that you were probably really sensitive around which spots were missing and if you could cover it up. I think you did a really good job at covering it up, so much so that it was hard to notice unless you knew what you were looking for. Now looking back, I realize why you would have been so self-conscious about how you looked and how much time it took to get ready.
Do you have a memory or memories that made you sad at the time?
I remember teasing you one time in the back of the car when we had both parents in the front. We had a long car ride. think we were coming from Gretchen or somebody else, and we were playing with Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And for whatever reason, I started mocking you. I was like, pull your hair out, Barb, or whatever I said. I remember getting scolded by our parents. And once that happened, you started to get upset, and I felt terrible immediately. I tried to offer you your favorite Yu-Gi-Oh card that I had at the time. And normally you would have accepted it in a heartbeat, but this time you declined, and that made me feel even worse. I just remember never making fun of you about it again.
Do you remember when I used to go to therapy?
I remember sitting in a session or two with someone named Gretchen, who was one of the people that you were seeing when we first realized what trick was. I just remember trying to learn about the disorder, asking questions in those sessions. However young I was trying to wrap my mind around what was going on. I remember being treated like an adult, and that really made me feel like, wow, this is a serious situation. You know, I was asking questions, and I think you were a little embarrassed that I would be asking stuff. And you kind of looked at me like, this is serious. And I definitely got the memo, but I was interested in learning. I remember asking you if you heard any voices that prompted you to pull or those kind of questions. And you answered honestly, and that was helpful for me.
Did you feel any pressure, like you had to be nicer to me because I was pulling?
I didn't feel any pressure. I just wanted to help. I do feel like there wasn't much pressure on me as the younger sibling to come up with a solution or to do anything other than just be myself and treat you the same way or nicer. I know there were times where it was really tense and you were really stressed out. And so during those times, I would definitely try to back off. But for the most part, I felt like I tried to treat you the exact same. I was still that annoying little brother, but I would try to tone it down.
Did you ever feel any resentment towards me? When I first developed trick, there was like a lot of attention on me.
No, I never felt any resentment. I remember being jealous that you got paid to talk about things because I was always hungry for money, even when I was younger. I thought that was really cool, but I never felt any resentment. I knew that everyone was just trying to help you, and I understood that.
Were you ever worried that you would develop trichotillomania?
I never thought that I would grow up and have it because the way that it was explained to me was that everybody has something different. Some people bite their nails. I kind of fidget with the skin on my finger, and that's kind of what I compared it to. And I just remember feeling lucky because mine was less noticeable and easier to solve than what you had.
You met someone else with trick before. What was that like?
I remember being aware of it, but I didn't necessarily explain it to everybody because it wasn't my business going around spreading what was happening. But when I heard about her, about somebody else who had it, I remember thinking, wow, this is definitely something my sister has too, and there's somebody else out there like that. It was such an uncommon thing that no one really understood until they actually have it.
Thank you so much, Evan. Everybody clap it up for my brother. He came to read today.
Thank you.
Do you have any memories? I just read, prior to us reading your chapter, I just read the chapter about us at summer camp where you said you shaved my eyebrows off. If I remember correctly, you don't really remember that moment, do you?
I don't really remember it, no.
Because it's so interesting because that's such like a standout moment for me. But then the memory that you spoke about saying the Yu-Gi-Oh cards and I was like really upset. I have no recollection of that. It's just so interesting how like what sticks with you and maybe what doesn't.
Yeah, I know that we tried to, once we knew what trick was and how it affected you, we tried to come up with strategies like in the public setting where we would be able to combat people that were asking questions about it or trying to be mean about it in a way that would kind of fend them off. So that doesn't surprise me that we had a couple things up our sleeve with that.
Do you remember anybody asking about it, like in front of you?
I remember one time, I think in middle school, there was like a little entryway before going into the building that there were some benches and we would hang out in. And somebody like wanted to start bringing attention about your eyebrows or eyelashes or something. And I think you just kind of removed yourself from the situation. You're like, I don't want to deal with this. And I think that was the only time I remember it coming up where we when we were together.
It was definitely not a fight. I was a flight. Like if it was brought up, I'm trying to leave the situation. I'm trying to ignore that it happened. I definitely didn't have the capacity to either explain or like have a comeback, like leave me alone, stuff like that.
And I thought it was a good approach. I mean, because people wanted you there, and then they started saying mean things and you left. And so they were like, oh, I messed up.
Oh, do you remember when I used to wear the fake glasses and like the headbands and stuff? Do you remember
Yeah,
that era?
I do.
Tell me like more of like from your perspective, like did those eyebrows that I drew on, they looked crazy, right? Like what do you remember from that time?
Well, even now as a guy, I'm not very good at recognizing what makeup has been used where. So back then it was even worse. But I remember you wearing the headband and the glasses, and I thought it was a normal look. I thought it was a good way to conceal it, and especially like more of a sporty vibe. You were playing sports, and it was a way to cover like kind of the front part of your hairline. And I know that that was an area that you were targeting at one point. So yeah, no, I remember all those approaches. I remember fake nails. I remember you used band-aids too. It was basically like whenever Barb is in front of a mirror, she's gonna have the urge. And so the approach was, how do we make sure that you're busy, or there's nothing we can do. When you got home from school, you were gonna be in the bathroom for an extended period. However, the having mirrors around, I think, was definitely a trigger for you.
From my perspective, I think I had a very regular childhood. Like I was a regular kid. I mean, I had obviously this whole part of my life that felt totally abnormal. But was trichotillomania something that was like maybe a heaviness on your childhood too, to like, damper anything? Or was it just like your regular kid, here's my sister dealing with something?
No, I think it was more the second thing. Like it didn't damper anything. It wasn't even like a we felt bad for you. It was just like this is something that she deals with and everything is normal. Like it wasn't like, oh, Barb isn't normal. You did everything you wanted to do. There was just that other thing that you had going on. And we know that it definitely added more pressure in social settings, and school was, a little bit more stressful for you than maybe it should have been. But kids are mean in school, and that's a hard time socially. So like anything that adds more stress to that is not ideal. But yeah, I thought you did great, and you had a good group of close friends, so that always helped.
And then, have you met anyone else now that has trichotillomania?
I don't know anybody that's been as open about it, that kind of says, hey, declares I have this thing called trich. But I know we've seen examples in shows and movies, and it's not uncommon for us to kind of notice, or you to point out to us, hey, there's someone that's doing that type of behavior that's similar to what I have. Like either they have trich and they know it, or they don't know it. But more about the behavior that we see, not as much about like a friend of ours saying, hey, I have this.
Is there anything that I haven't like brought up that you came wanting to share?
I don't have anything that I wanted to share. I guess I could ask, questions of you. Like as you keep building this community, like what's been some of the coolest things that you've seen so far? I know that you just got featured in a pretty big article, and also, you're being referenced by others. So I'd love to hear more about your journey in building this community, because I think it's amazing.
Oh, thanks, Evan. Yeah, so I think the coolest thing is just how many people come out of the woodwork once you start to share. So even when I was anonymous, I would get comments from other anonymous accounts. Oh, me too, me too. We'd share like details about the disorder and all that stuff. Now that I'm more like forward facing and showing my face constantly and showing my regrowth and stuff, so many people feel so comfortable to do the same thing, and they want to share. They want to come on the podcast. They want to write an article that could be posted on a blog for a nonprofit. It's contagious. Like finding self-love and self-acceptance is contagious. Hi, Rocky. Once you see someone else do it, you also want to do it. And so I think the best thing about this whole experience is, one, I get to feel comfortable in my skin, like 100% of who I am with this disorder. And I also think that I am able to show people that it's not the worst thing about you. You can have this like amazing life. Here's an example. Here's me living every single day with eyelashes intact, gone, hair growing back in, but I still feel beautiful and I still feel that I'm worthy of everything that I've ever wanted. So I think that's like my main message. I think people are gravitating towards that.
I love that. I feel like that's got to be true in all situations. Like people need to be more accepting and less critical of themselves, but you leading the charge, from the front in something that you do that's very visible, I think it means a lot. And what about, do you think the difference between like culturally and how society is now versus how it was maybe when you were going to school, where it seems like it's almost more of a trend to be open about these things, about mental health, about certain disorders? Do you feel like it would have been easier for you to come forward and be more public sooner if that were the case? Or is this more of just like a, you made that decision because that's what you decided was the best thing to do?
From my experience, I was just so tired of hating it. I think it was like 17 years of just like hating this thing, ignoring it, wishing it went away. I'm so embarrassed. I'm ashamed. Who wants to live like that? I mean, it's just exhausting. It's really annoying, actually. And it was annoying to me to the point where I'm like, I need to make a change. This doesn't make sense. And it was even within after those 17 years, so maybe even almost 20 years into the experience, I was battling wearing false eyelashes every day. I don't want to do that every day. Like, I got to the point where I'm like so tired. And like at that point, it's like I'm making a huge change. So that really, I was already sharing my experience on social media, but to become so like front facing was I need to prove to myself that I don't feel like I need to hide anything. Like, why? What's the point? And I think if I was younger and people were so open about this, I'm sure I would have felt way more comfortable because you look up hashtag trichotillomania on social media, there's hundreds of people. They're showing their bald spots. They're showing what works for them, what doesn't. Like, I could have found a community and propelled my, like, that could have propelled me to be so open and honest when I was younger. But what we were facing, and like, look at any of the interviews in the early 2000s, people are nasty as shit. They're nasty. They're mean. They're not nice to people about, like, celebrities. They're not nice about, like, mental health stuff. There's all this, negativity and like you should be ashamed and all this stuff, and that's just what I digested as like normal. And so I was like, oh, okay, I can't share this because people are gonna make fun of me. And then people were making fun of me, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that tracks because that's what I thought,
Exactly. Happened exactly as you expected. Do you think that like social media has helped or hurt for like treatments or strategies for body focused repetitive behaviors?
As far as treatment goes, I think honestly, in general, I would say it's a positive experience. I think being able to see people just like you is great. I think that because of social media, people are actually able to get more resources than they would have before. It's hard because sometimes there are people with differing opinions and, oh, you should try this, you should try that. It's up to you as the user of social media to do your own research and see, don't take this medicine because someone says it. That's on you to do all that. But the fact that people are sharing, hey, I was on this before and this is what happened for me, or it didn't do anything for me. It's having these like really large conversations around how can I get help? And if someone says like, oh, I'm feeling helpless, well, there's 30 accounts that are like, you can reach out to me. Like, don't worry about it. Like, I'm here for you. So in my personal experience, social media has been such a positive thing. And it's just amazing that we have it now where you can meet people from all over the world just like you.
That's amazing. All right, one last question from me. I know that you've been like an advocate for like helping people come up with strategies, sharing your own experience, not just from like personal relationships, but from your own relationship with yourself. And then you also went out and became this certified life coach. So like, how do you feel like those things go together? Like being this life coach and then also being kind of this advocate that's open. How do you think those two things work together?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think for many professions or just things in general, right? There are people that you're going to like look up to and say, "I want to get to that point," whether it's any type of career, right? Like mentorship, like any type of career, there are people that are saying, "Hey, wait a minute. How did you get there? Can I do something similar?" Well, the beauty about being a certified professional coach, a life coach, is that I can meet with people. I can ask them, where do you want to be? And now I have these really easy, digestible steps to get to where you want to be in a way that maybe matches my mindset and my mentality, right? So if I had a client who came to me and said, you know what? I want to just stop pulling my hair out completely. I want to be cured. Well, guess what? That we're not a good fit. We're not going to work together. That's not my mindset. My mindset is management and self-acceptance and self-love. So when people are looking for someone to say like, hey, she's living a life without shame, how do I do that? Well, I can tell you how. And how are you feeling shamed? Like, what does that mean to you to feel shame? Have you shared with anybody? What was that experience like? And so it's taking this big idea of I want to live a shame-free life, or I want to be more accepting or love myself. And then I can break it up into small, digestible pieces that you can feel like there's a path now, instead of just this overarching idea that's too big to even start. Well, here's the path. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You can say, hey, here's how I feel, and I can give you some coaching on how you can take some steps, the same ones that I've taken, to feel better about yourself. That's beautiful. Well, you're the expert. I appreciate hearing from you as well. I didn't want it to just be a one-way conversation. So I'm glad I was able to ask you some things too.
Thanks, Evan. I really appreciate you coming on here today. Thank you. All
Thank you, Barbara.
right. See you later, Ev.
I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye. It must have been hard for you. Brothers protect their sisters, no matter who is older. You carried the weight of my trichotillomania too, right on top of your shoulder. It had to be heavy and hard to bear. Even though it wasn't you who was pulling their hair. Yet you were there with nothing you could do. Evan, I know. It must have been hard for you too. You so much for listening to this episode of Trick Talks with my special guest, my brother, Evan. I hope you have a great rest of your day wherever you are in the world, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.